As you know, we have been looking together over these last few weeks at iLife. The idea is learning to live intentionally. And so we started the first week, we started looking at iWorship, how each day of my life I can intentionally decide that I'm going to live in a way that worships God. And then we looked at iPray, that instead of waiting until I have to pray one of those emergency prayers, I can intentionally make prayer a part of my everyday life. Then we looked at iWork, which says that I can intentionally serve God even at work. If I can see God as my boss, then I can glorify Him even when I'm on the job. And then last week on Super Bowl Sunday, we talked about iPlay. That we can learn if He is Lord of all, then we can learn that He is even Lord over my playtime. I can, in my leisure, I can please Him and glorify Him. And now this morning on the Sunday before Valentine's Day, I want us to think together very quickly about I love. Intentionally deciding that I'm going to love those around me. It doesn't really usually happen just kind of automatically. Real love has to happen intentionally. I have to decide to be a loving person. The reason for that is real love is not something you fall into. It's something you choose. It's not as much about desire as it is about a decision. It's not as much about affection as it is about action. It's not as much about sentiment as it is about serving. And that is exactly what Paul was saying in Galatians. If you'll look with me this morning, will not take long, but I want to encourage you to look with me in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Because love is not so much a sentiment as it is about serving. In this text, Paul says, Galatians 5 and 13, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" In that text, we find two aspects of love, two important ways that we can make sure that we are loving intentionally. And I want to show them to you this morning. First, showing love. He first talks about showing love. In verse 13, he said, "You were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom turn into an opportunity for the flesh." You know, we know that Jesus has set us free. When Jesus came, He lived a perfect life. He conquered sin by doing so. Then He paid for our sin on the cross. And then not only did He pay for our sin on the cross, but He loved us enough that He came back to life after that so that we could have victory over sin, death, and hell. It's an amazing thing that He would love us that much to make that happen in our lives. He has come to set us free. And you remember, He's the one who said that if the Son sets you free, you are free what? Indeed, you're free. And so we're no longer bound by sin. We're no longer bound by the law. We are free. Now, there would be a tendency among some to say, okay, now that I'm free, that means I can basically do whatever I want to do. I'm free. I don't have to worry about the rules and the regulations and being good. I'm free. And so because I'm free, I get to do whatever I want. I get to treat you however I want to treat you. Nobody can tell me any difference because I'm free. You see, and that leads us down a dangerous path, doesn't it? Well, Paul doesn't want us to make the mistake of going down that path. And so he says, "You were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn that freedom into an opportunity for the flesh." Well, what is the one thing that will keep us from going to that extreme? The one thing that will keep us from abusing our freedom and mistreating those around us, the thing that keeps us in balance is love. Yes, I have liberty, but I choose love And when I choose love, that allows me to use my liberty in ways that benefit you instead of ways that would hurt you. God is love, and He calls His people to be people of love. That calls us to do something. If we're going to be people of love, we're called to do something. Well, what does that look like? He says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And there's our answer. How can I make sure that I don't go to the extreme of abusing my liberty? I do that by love. Well, what difference does love make? How does love make have any impact on my liberty? It is because I love that I choose to serve. You see, serve is the way that we show love. You remember the story of Jesus the last night He was with His disciples. You'll remember that they had gathered in the upper room, and nobody took upon themselves to take on that lowly responsibility of washing the feet of the others. And so Jesus stood, and He washed the feet of His own disciples. You remember that story. It's recorded for us in John 13. But did you ever pay attention to how John 13 starts? The very first verse of that story says, "Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Therefore, He picked up a towel and a basin, and He served them." You see, when we serve one another, we're demonstrating love. And so Paul says, love one another in a real way. Don't let your freedom draw you to abuse that liberty. Instead, you love, and the way you love is by serving. What does love look like then as we serve one another? A survey of 4 to 8-year-olds, young ones. A survey of 4 to 8-year-olds was conducted in which kids were asked to share their views on love. What do little kids know about love? Listen to what they said. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Love is when someone hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at him because you know it would hurt his feelings. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes okay. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Love is if you hold hands and sit beside each other in the cafeteria. That means you're in love. Otherwise, you can sit across from each other and be okay. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Robert Redford. I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. We have all kinds of ideas about love, don't we? You've heard me say it before. My youth pastor used to say love, so many people think that love is a feeling you feel when you feel a feeling like you never felt before. But it's so much more, isn't it? Love is all of these things in a way, but much more than that. Love is, I think, best understood as the sacrificial commitment to the well-being of another. Love is the sacrificial commitment to the well-being of another. And the way I demonstrate that love, the way I show love, is by serving. Thomas A. Kempis said, "Whoever loves much does much." Talked about showing love. He also talks about sharing love. In verse 14, he says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" While some might go to the extreme with liberty, I'm free, so because I'm free, I can do what I want, I can treat you how I want, And we saw that love is actually the thing that keeps us from going to that extreme. There is another extreme, and that is I can say to you, you can't do anything you want because there are rules. There are laws. There's the right way to behave. And I can go to this other extreme way over here and I can become very legalistic. And I can say, you ought to and you should and you must. And I can point my finger at you and I can go to this other extreme of legalism. And what is it that would keep me from that extreme of legalism? Love. You see, love keeps me from abusing my liberty. It also keeps me from abusing judgmentalism or legalism. It keeps me where I need to be in my relationship with you, and for that matter, in my relationship with God. That's what Paul was kind of getting at when he said, all of the law will be summed up. It'll take care of all of the law if you love your neighbor. You know, Jesus said much the same thing. You remember the guy came up and he said, hey, there's a bunch of laws. Which one do you think is most important? Jesus said, well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And the second one is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said that the law and the prophets hang on these two. That if you love God with all you've got, all you are, you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to take care of the rest of the law. You're not going to hurt people, and you're not going to break the laws against people if you love them, and you're not going to break the laws against God if you love Him. Paul said it another way in Romans 13, love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Don't let your freedom pull you too far so that you abuse your liberty. How do you avoid that? You love by serving. Don't let your tendency toward legalism pull you too far. How do you avoid it? Love. Love shown by serving. And that helps you keep all that law. For that to happen, it has to be a real love. You have to share it with your neighbor. There was a love letter that I read recently. It said, dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I have felt since breaking our engagement. Please say that you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. Please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. And congratulations on winning the state lottery. Makes us wonder if that's real love. We're motivated by so many different things. It's hard for us to remember that love really is not about what I can receive or what I can feel or what I can get, but love is the sacrificial commitment to the well-being of another. We share love. We wind up keeping the laws, keeping our responsibility to one another. Perhaps you've heard the old saying, a bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. Love is not love until you give it away. He talked about showing love, and then he talked about sharing love. Love that is not shared with others is really not love. It's something else. Maybe it's good intentions. Maybe it's nice thoughts or religious guilt. But if love isn't demonstrated, if it's not given, then it's not really love. How do we know what real love is? And how do we know how that love is showed and shared? I just said showed, didn't I? How do we know that love is shown? Romans 5:8. But God showed, God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How do I know what love looks like? Because God showed it to me. How do I know that love has to be shared? Because God shared it with me. I love God not because I loved Him first, but because He loved me first. He proved it on Calvary. And He proved His love for you at the very same moment. Have you ever seen love? Have you ever looked at Calvary? Have you ever seen the cross in your mind's eye? Because it is there that God proves what love is all about. I want to ask you this morning, have you received the love of God? Have you accepted the gift that He gives? The gift of grace that says, I forgive you, I love you, just like you are. And if you'll have faith in Christ, He'll change you into exactly the person God intended you to be from the beginning. Have you ever experienced that? In just a moment, we're going to sing a chorus. And as we sing together, if the Holy Spirit would speak to you and say, you know what, today is your day to give your life to Christ, to commit to follow Him, let Him change you, let Him love you, then I'm going to encourage you to stand up and walk down that aisle and come and let's pray about that commitment to Christ together. He might also say to you, you're already a Christian. But you need to recommit your life to following Him more closely, to demonstrating His kind of love to those around you. Maybe He'd say, today is a day for you to join this church. Maybe He calls you to missions or ministry. Whatever God may call you to do as far as making a commitment in a public way, would you come? The altar will be open as well. If you just feel led to come and pray privately, you're welcome to come and do that. And let me ask you at this time if you'd stand with us and let's sing together. If the Lord would call you to come and make a commitment to Him, Phil or I will be here to greet you and pray with you. Don't hesitate. God has loved you so much with a great love. We want to respond appropriately. Give Him our lives. Let's prayerfully experience His love during these next few minutes.